Good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Today is November 29th, the first Sunday of Advent. As you can see from our decor here, we're ready to celebrate, getting prepared. A few announcements. We have our weekly Bible studies going on. On location here at Stavanger, the Bible study on Ephesians every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And also, every Wednesday at night, we have the virtual Shady Oak Bible study. That's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Contact me for a link if you'd like to participate in that. You may have also received with your bulletin the daily prayer notes. If not, you can pick one up in the back with Gordon. The daily prayer notes for December has just arrived. Next week, we will also celebrate Communion Sunday, so please join us for that. And now, I'd like to invite Pastor John Jewell up and for the lighting of the Advent wreath. The first candle lit on Advent, on the Advent wreath, is called the Prophecy Candle. It is a reminder of God's promise, spoken through the prophets, to send the Christ child. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And now, congregation, hear the call to worship from Psalm chapter 80, verses 1 through 7. "Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim. Shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved." Let us meditate upon those words with a moment of silence. And now would the congregation please rise as we continue worshiping in song.
Shadows put to flight. shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To use the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, come, all peoples in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, thou long expected, set thy people free from darkness and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Thank you. Would the congregation please remain standing for the confession of our sin? You'll have the words printed in your bulletin. I'll read the words under the heading Pastor, and you can read along with me under the heading Congregation. This is a confession of our sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will. and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us now confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read along with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of body, life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Let us pray. Does the congregation have any special prayer requests? And we'll pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now on this first Sunday of Advent with hopeful expectation. Come as one church together, united. Come as the year draws to an end. We come still expecting to hear from you and to hope in you. Lord, teach us your ways. Feed us with your gospel. May we have ears to hear and hearts to understand. Lord, we long for your presence. Help us to carry out your will. Help us to love our neighbor. Pray over the word preached today from Pastor John. As we look forward to hearing your word, may it encourage us and convict us and teach us, Lord, so that we be instructed by you. And now we will pray in the manner that our Lord Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite up Pastor John Jewell with today's sermon from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Thank you, Pastor John.
Sermon text from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 9. As you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls in your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, and do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grant us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to believe your word to us today. And may, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You ain't seen nothing yet. And my apologies to parents trying to teach their children proper English. You'll forgive the use of ain't in a poetic license sort of way. But it's to make the point. When we think we've seen it all, we are reminded that there are things yet that we have not seen, that we have not experienced. We get some hints of this in the passage here. Just some context. Isaiah, in these latter chapters of the book, Isaiah is projected forward in the future. He was a prophet before the time that Israel was exiled to Babylon, or Israel first to Assyria and Judah, the southern kingdom, later to Babylon. They were kicked out of the promised land because they persisted in running away from the Lord, disobeying him, rebelling against him. And finally, the Lord, in his righteous indignation, sent them away. And as they were away, and even after they began to return to the promised land, they encountered difficulty, hardship. And out of that comes these cries, these prayers, these laments. Oh, that you would just kick the door in, just like a SWAT team making a raid into a house. They don't knock. They kick the door in, or a special forces detachment coming to rescue captives. They don't politely open the door. They kick it in. That's the picture here. That you would rend the heavens. This word rend, it's a violent kind of tearing. God, there's an urgency here. Would you just come now? That the mountains would tremble before you. The people of Israel living in the land of Palestine, this little piece of land that God promised to his people so long ago, it sits on a geological fault line that extends down to Africa, the Great Rift Valley. And it's seismically active, apparently, that people would have been familiar with earthquakes. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I was in one, just a little one, in Vancouver, Washington. And I was sitting at a chair doing my job as a student, and I felt the chair jiggle. And I turned around. I thought it was my supervisor who was just messing around, kind of coming around just to shake me up a little bit. And I turned around, and he wasn't there. And I turned around back toward the desk, and it had a hanging desk lamp over. And I saw the lamp was still wiggling. And I thought, oh, I think that was an earthquake. Kind of a small one, not a big deal. But big earthquakes are big deals. I mean, if you've ever been in one, it makes you realize how small you are. The mountain quaked, and there was fire, and there was noise when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments in Sinai after they had left Egypt. God made his presence known in no uncertain terms. This is a God to be reckoned with, one who is powerful. And that's who's being called upon in this passage. The people were experiencing hardship, trouble. It was troubled times. Wouldn't you like to see God just come down now, right now, and shake things up and straighten things out? I would. Unrest, uncertainty. I don't need to recite everything we're experiencing as a community, as a nation, as a world right now. If God would just come right now and just straighten it out. To make the nations quake before you, to make the enemies understand there is a God who is bigger than they are. What is it going to take for our enemies to back down, to leave us alone? Martin Luther said it, if you use clubs to de-louse a fool, they might take notice. Normally, de-lousing is a kind of a delicate little operation. But human nature is that when we are in our sins, sometimes it takes a club. Come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake. Just like fire under a pot causes the water to start bubbling and turning and eventually evaporate if it gets too hot and stays there long enough. That's what's being asked for here. And the prophet looks back to the time when God did this in the past, looking back to the time of Moses, parting the Red Sea, closing it in over Pharaoh's approaching army. We want to see that kind of God now. The kind of kick the door in kind of God and set things straight according to us. The problem is the according to us part. See, if we go down further in our passage here, it says, you, in verse 5, you come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But who's that? Who has always gladly done right and remembered God's ways? Any volunteers? Me neither. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? And we move into a place of repentance and confession here. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And we're not just talking like dirt on our face, but like someone who is spiritually, morally unfit to be in God's presence. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Ugh. There was a missionary who was returning from his field of service, where, you know, the missionaries were in the church service, kind of the upfront people, and then the churches where they gathered, they didn't have pews like they did here. They had chairs and different kind of seating. And as they were coming back on furlough, they're talking to their kids, you know, kind of like what church is going to be like. It's what life in America is going to be like during their time back in the States. And he said, you know, to one of the little kids, you know, during church, we'll just sit in the pew like everybody else. And the little girl said, "Ooh, why would we do that?" See, her understanding of the word pew was the dirty diapers of her younger siblings. That was pew. We're all going to sit in the pew at church. But really, that's what Isaiah says is the reality. As us as sinners, we are sitting in our own pew, spiritually and morally speaking. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. You've hidden your face from us. Pew. Our sins are pew in God's nostrils. And as a result, we shrivel up like the leaves. Every time I think I got my yard clean, then comes up the wind and somebody else's leaves fill it up. Anyone else have that happen? I see that head. I see that knot. Those leaves shrivel. Well, something that was once living and attached to the tree and beautiful, now they just turn into compost. That's what our sins do to us. And it's not until we really sometimes face suffering or hardship that we are really reminded of the condition sin brings upon us, ours and others. And when we are reminded of the one who comes to the help of those who gladly do right and remember his ways. See, there's good news in here, because God does remember us, and not according to our sins. The next door prophet to Isaiah, Jeremiah, writes in chapter 31, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Isaiah appeals to this one who made us, this one who calls us, who calls himself our Father. "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." Isaiah appeals to God who revealed himself to Abraham and made promises to him that he would bless him, and that through him all nations would be blessed. Advent is a time of confession. It's a time of reflection, of repentance, a time to remember that the Lord is coming again. We often focus on the fact that it celebrates that the Lord did come. And it indeed is that. But as we sit here today, we are also reminded that the Lord is coming again. And as John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, to prepare the coming of the Lord. The message is the same today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He is returning. And Jesus says, he warned about and taught about the things that would precede his return. In each of the Gospels, he talks about there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines and earthquakes. All these things we have seen in our life, and we will see in increasing measure until he returns. You see, we ain't seen nothing yet. And many will come in his name saying that he's the Christ, but no, we ain't seen nothing, because when he comes, it will be visible to all the world to see. And we will see the one. We will see the one who did come down. The one at Jesus' baptism, Mark writes, the heavens were torn open and the Holy Spirit came down him in the form of a dove. The one who went to the cross and carried our pew and had it attached to himself. This is the God who comes to the aid of his people, who came down, who humbled himself, who took on our pew and shed his righteous blood to wash you and I clean, that we have our filthy rags replaced with his robe of righteousness. When Jesus died on the cross, the earth did quake, and something else was torn. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That which separated a holy God from sinful people was torn, because the righteous Son of God gave his life for you and I. And it's that hope and it's that good news that allows us to look forward to his return, not with fear, but with anticipation and with joy. While we live humbly as repentant sinners, but as repentant and forgiven sinners, one who are claimed by our Heavenly Father, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Friend. Isaiah ends, do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. And the good news of Jesus is, because he paid the debt, God remembers to our account who trust in Jesus, his righteousness, and remembers our sins at the cross, paid in full. Let us pray. Father, let us have hope in these days for the things that we don't see with our eyes. Lord, as we see the nations rage, even our own, Lord, may we be reminded these are only signs that you, the true King, who will set things straight in a very clear and open way, in a way that we have never seen before, that you are coming. Help us, Lord, to be ready. Help us not to be caught up and distracted by the things of this world, but to deal with them, Lord, in the perspective that you are not slow to keep your promises. So grant us faith, Lord, to walk by faith in your promises, in your word, in your love, in your forgiveness, in your light. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for the word. And now would the congregation please rise for our closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace."
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. In faith, steadfast, strong, and true. No, we will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace and faith.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.